The librarian took advantage of the diversion to help himself to a couple of cards off the bottom of the pack.
"Don't be daft. That's just a swamp dragon," said Nobby. "She's all right as Lady Sybil. A real lady."
The other two guards turned and stared at him. This was Nobby talking.
"You two can bloody well stop that," he said. "Why shouldn't I know a lady when I sees one? She'd give me a cup of tea and a cup thin as paper and a silver spoon in it," he said,
speaking as one who had peeped over the plateau of social distinction.
"And I'll give it back to her, so you can stop looking at me like that."
"What is it you actually do on your evenings off?" said Colon.
"No business of yourn."
"Did you really give the spoon back?" said Carrot.
"Yes, I bloody well did," said Nobby hotly.
"Attention, lads," said the sergeant, flooded with relief. The other two entered the room. Vimes gave his men his usual look of resigned dismay.
"My squad," he mumbled.
"Fine body of men," said Lady Ramkin. "The good old rank and file, eh?"
"The rank, anyway," said Vimes.
Lady Ramkin beamed encouragingly. This led to a strange shuffling among the men. Sergeant Colon, by dint of some effort, managed to make his chest stick out more than his stomach. Carrot straightened up from his habitual stoop. Nobby vibrated with soldierly bearing, hands thrust straight down by his sides, thumbs pointing sharply forward. Pigeon chest inflated so much that his feet were in danger of leaving the ground.
"I always think we can all sleep safer in my bed, knowing that these brave men are watching over us," said Lady Ramkin, walking sedately along the rank like a treasure galleon running ahead of a mild breeze. "And who is this?"
It's difficult for an orangutan to stand to attention. Its body can master the general idea, but its skin can't. The librarian was doing his best, however, standing in a sort of respectful heap at the end of the line and maintaining the kind of complex salute you can only achieve with a 4-foot arm.
"He's plain clothes, ma'am," said Nobby smartly. "Special ape services."
Very enterprising indeed," said Lady Ramkin. "How long have you been an ape, my man?"
"Ooh, well done," she turned to Vimes, who was definitely looking incredulous. "A credit to you," she said. "A fine body of men."
"Ooh."
"Anthropoids," corrected Lady Ramkin, with barely a break in the flow. For a moment, the rank felt as though they had just returned from single-handedly conquering a distant province. They felt, in fact, tremendously bucked up, which was how Lady Ramkin would almost certainly have put it, and which was definitely several letters of the alphabet away from how they normally felt. Even the librarian felt favoured, and for once had let the phrase, "my man," pass without comment. A trickling noise and a strong chemical smell prompted them to look around. Good boy Bindle Featherston was squatting with an air of sheepish innocence alongside what was not so much a stain on the carpet as a hole in the floor. A few wisps of smoke were curling up from the edges. Lady Ramkin sighed.
"Don't you worry, ma'am," volunteered Nobby cheerfully. "Soon have that cleaned up."
"I'm afraid they're often like that when they're excited," she said.
"Fine specimen you got there, ma'am," Nobby went on, revelling in the newfound experience of social intercourse.
"It's not mine," she said. "It belongs to the captain now, or all of you, perhaps, a sort of mascot. His name is Good Boy Bindle Featherston."
Good Boy Bindle Featherston bore up stoically under the weight of the name and sniffed a table leg.
"He looks more like my brother Errol," said Nobby, playing the cheapy, chirpy, lovable city sparrow card for all it was worth. "Got the same pointed nose, excuse me for saying so, me lady."
Vimes looked at the creature, which was investigating its new environment, and knew that it was now irrevocably an Errol. The little dragon took an experimental bite out of the table, chewed it for a few seconds, spat it out, curled up, and went to sleep.
"He ain't going to set fire to anything, is he?"
said the sergeant anxiously.
"I don't think so. He doesn't seem to have worked out what his flame ducts are for yet,"
said Lady Ramkin.
"You can't teach him anything about relaxing, though," said Vimes. "Anyway, Ben..."
"Ooh!
I wasn't talking to you, sir. What's this doing here?"
Said Sergeant Colon hurriedly. "With you being away and all, and us likely to be short-handed, Carrot here says it's all according to the law and that. I swore him in, sir. The ape, sir."
"Swore him in what, Sergeant?"
said Vimes.
"As special constable, sir," said Colon, blushing. "You know, sir, sort of citizen's watch."
Vimes threw up his hands.
"Special? Bloody unique!"
The librarian gave Vimes a big smile.
"Just temporarily, sir. For the duration, like," said Colon pleadingly. "We could do with the help, sir, and, well, he's the only one who seems to like us."